Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. It is actually late. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024, and it's been quite a week, let me tell you. It's been quite a week. But thank you all for listening. I appreciate you very, very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to the podcast, share it with people, and all that wonderful, wonderful stuff. I appreciate you. I can't begin to tell you how much. Let's get into it, and I'll tell you about the week here in just a moment. First of all, if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking, I'd like some bonus stuff, you should check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. That's where I'll be putting up two bonus episodes a month. I need to put the March episodes up, so kind of behind, but because things were pretty lean on questions through last month and this month, and it's been kind of bonkers, I'm making it up. Ordinarily, I would ask you guys for your questions, comments, whatever, on the Patreon by messaging me on patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. But since it's been kind of lean, I have one question that I do have to answer and a bunch of ones that I'm going to make up. So good luck. You're going to get what you get. I'm just going to rapid fire off a bunch of things this week, so we'll see how it goes, and hopefully you guys will enjoy those episodes. Also, if you're curious, you can join me over on Twitch. If you like video gaming, if you like just random people doing random stuff, you're going to probably love this, and especially if you like role-playing games. Twitch.tv/LinkIB is where to go and watch all of those shenanigans. And I've added something to my summer stream series, which is going to be Fallout 4. Not too coincidentally on the heels of the success of the Fallout television series on Amazon Prime. I put the question to my chat to say, like, hey, what would you like to see in the Discord? Like, would you want to see this, that, or the other? And the vote came kind of tied up between, like, Fallout or some game in the series and maybe Gears of War. So I'm going to go back and revisit those games and finally, hopefully, play through and beat Fallout 4. So join me over on Twitch at twitch.tv/LinkIB for some of that. And if you wanted some Wandering One Studios merch or some LinkIB merch, and why wouldn't you, stop on over at streamlabs.com/LinkIB/merch. And there you can pick up t-shirts, stickers, we have coffee mugs, water bottles, all kinds of stuff. So give it a spin, see what you think, see what you like. It'd be awesome. Okay, so going into the week, man, this is... The month of April's been pretty nonstop with guests coming in from out of town, people coming to visit and stay over, or us just having events at the house. It's just been hustle and bustle almost nonstop, it seems. So not a whole lot of breathing room just yet, and it's going heavy, full storm, like full speed into the summer months as we're getting close to those. There's just stuff and things and everything's happening at once. And so, the wife has been doing all right, but she fell a little ill this week and we had to, you know, negotiate that situation. She's doing fine, or let's put it this way, better than before. And just keeping an optimistic outlook because it's not like a super serious thing that we can tell, but it just ain't fun. No one likes being sick. To that end, it's been, more just emotionally and mentally draining than physically. Like, I wake up and I feel fine. Sometimes I'm a little tired, but I think most of it is just mental and emotional energy being expended to the point where I'm, like, running like a dry husk. It's like, I feel like a California raisin, man, but just, like, every day, which is, not great, not ideal, but you make it happen. And it's given me some pretty interesting dreams, if nothing else. I can say that, like, my dream state has always been fairly active. But when I get tired or I get, like, run down somehow, whether it's being sick, whether I'm, you know, just physically just tired, or if I'm emotionally, mentally, just spiritually kind of drained, those dreams come off in some pretty bizarro world ways. And I've always had, like, very lucid dreams, very peculiar dreams. The one I had the other night, though, was just kind of taking the cake. Just last night, actually, I was laying down and sleeping, and, you know, I always run kind of hot, so I was sleeping with just, like, the fan on and, like, a blanket and just enough to keep covered. And I woke up, and I felt like there was something kind of, like, pressing on me. And while I was laying there, I looked around, and I could just feel, like, I don't know what it was, like rubble, debris, something. Like, I looked around, it looked like there had been a storm. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm in the middle of a dream right now. This is going to be lots of fun. Let's see where this goes. And I'm running around just trying to find people I know, you know, help people who are in danger or hurt or whatever. And you hear this, like, radio in the background, you know, saying that, you know, they're coming, they're coming, you know, keep your eyes on the skies and keep moving to shelter, get to safety. And I'm like, what is that? And then you hear this, like, low rumble. Kind of sounds like when a train's coming close. And that's scary if you live in the South. A lot of people tell you, if you hear the sound, it sounds like a train coming, almost like a low whistle, like a train. They're like, that's a tornado. So you should be indoors already. So I started hearing this, and then, like, it sounded like thunder. And I looked up, and there's this giant, like, what looks like a giant bank of storm clouds, but just dropping down from the sky. Oh, so I started to almost poop on myself in my sleep, but in the dream, I'm trying to keep it together, and I'm pushing people, like, let's get to the shelter, let's get to a basement, and then all of a sudden, the clouds part, and this giant disc-shaped ship is floating above us, like, lights and stuff flashing underneath, and then it, like, you hear the lightning again, and it arcs toward the ground and hits the ground, and just this huge crater opens up, I mean, a couple of blocks wide. It's like evaporating entire city blocks. I'm freaking out. You start running, and then you hear, like, loud pops and booms coming from the distance. And as we're running, you hear it, like, impact above us. And everybody screams, and you look up, and these holes had opened up in the ship. So I guess maybe, like, the military decided to attack this thing and shoot it down, and just chunks of debris and stuff are flying everywhere. There's some weird kind of goo that's slapping the ground. Like, it's like somebody threw a watermelon 20 feet up and just watched it hit. Just splack. And the ship keeps flying a little further ahead of us. And then I realized just how big this thing is. When it hits the ground, you don't feel it for like a couple of seconds. Like, the impact tremor, actually, this thing was like maybe like a mile long. And it hit the ground and I could still see it. You know, just clear as day. I'm like, oh, this thing is gigantic. And we're running directly towards it, unfortunately. So it's time to turn around and run the opposite direction. And just as I'm getting ready to do that, the front part of whatever would have been, like, I guess the ship's fuselage explodes and just knocks everybody to the ground. And I wake up. And you can just feel the heat all over you from everywhere. And then when I woke up, I'm just dripping sweat. I'm like, this is great. This is a wonderful way to start your morning, man. Ugh. I don't know if anybody else ever has dreams like this, but they're rough, man. They're rough. Like, on your body, on your mind, on your state of well-being. Like, when you wake up and you're like, you know, like, what's going on? Who are you? Why does it smell like that? So I was just kind of freaked out. And I, like I said, I've had these dreams before. They're not really a stranger to them, but it doesn't make it easier to deal with. I'm just grateful that they're not nearly as horrifying as they once were, because I used to have what people probably will know as psychosomatic dreams. Those are absolutely terrifying, because the real big problem is that a psychosomatic dream, it's like the Matrix, which your mind believes your body makes real. So I've had dreams where, like, I've been, like, punched or hit or stabbed or something, and I wake up and I have a bruise on me in the same shape of whatever it was that hit me or stabbed me or whatever. So I don't have those anymore. Knock on wood, you know, but yeah, that was a rough one to go through. And there have been a lot of them like that, in varying degrees of terror and, you know, varying degrees of, you know, hilarity. Some of them are funny, but they're just super weird. Like, why is this happening? Like, it's like walking into a Monty Python sketch and having no idea. That's where a lot of it comes from. And, like, you know, I've always got, like, a pretty, how do I say, eclectic seems a little bit too disingenuous. Like, it's not quite the right word. But I have pretty broad-spanning tastes in everything. Music, movies, entertainment, books, food, you know, what you name it. So, like, my brain kind of draws all that stuff in and then stirs it up in one giant pot and then throws it on the table. like a low country boil and just let you kind of pick through it. And that's what happens. So thankfully, like I said, no more psychosomatic dreams, but I would really go for maybe like a day or two of those folks who's just like, I don't dream when I sleep. I'm like, that sounds amazing. It sounds amazing to go to sleep and the movie in your mind is turned off and you can just wake up the next day feeling refreshed. The only way you can time travel like that is usually with the help of like some, the only way I can do it anyway, is either with this type of like anesthetic or if I do something stupid and drink too much and then you're like, you black out, wake up and you're like, oh, what happened? Or, you know, oddly enough, weirdly enough, NyQuil. NyQuil has the same effect of like anesthetic and alcohol, but with none of the hangover and all of the quiet. So I don't know, maybe I'll have to look at like the Z-Quil stuff to make me go night-night so I can have like one or two nights where I just don't wake up and like screaming terrors or whatever, or just, you know, can just sleep without dreaming. Maybe that's what the brain needs, just like a Control-Alt-Delete sort of. You never know, man. You never know. I feel like it was all a dream. But yeah, it was banana balls, man. So anyway, let's talk about something that actually kind of seems like it's walked out of a dream or a nightmare. Our buddy Donald. How about that? Trump's troubles continue with seemingly no end in sight. And he just can't seem to help himself. He can't stop himself. And it seems like everybody else is trying to, though. Reportedly, this past week, a lot of other state primaries closed. Pennsylvania has like closed primaries. And it's interesting to note that he lost 17% of Republican votes to, drumroll please, Nikki Haley. Yes, that Nikki Haley, who suspended her campaign 6 weeks ago and is no longer actively pursuing the Republican National Convention's nomination for president or the presidency in general. And it's crazy to look at that because people would rather, quote unquote, throw away their votes or just not vote at all than vote for Donald Trump, who the Republican Party picked as their front runner. It's very telling when like almost your entire base is screaming, why him, not him, and you just keep on trucking. There were some interesting interviews that have come out over the last couple of weeks, in particular, people saying that, you know, hey, how can I trust him if, you know, he can't keep his hands to himself? You know, how can we hope that he'll like, you know, be able to have enough self-control to manage dealing with world leaders? We've seen what he's done the last 4 years when he was in office. Why should we give him another shot? There's a lot of people, and it's a more vocal section of people than you'd be led to believe. While it's not a overwhelming majority, there's enough dissent within the Republican camps that you should be worried. It's crazy because there are certain factions of the RNC that are actually pushing back against Trump, and in some ways, almost leaning towards backing Joe Biden. And I'm not saying that Joe Biden's an ideal candidate. Obviously, the man needs to be let alone. He needs to be able to retire in peace and just be a grandpa and just be an old dude somewhere. But it's, again, just like the RNC, this is what the DNC pulled out. So that's what we got. And yeah, that's happening a lot. Also, labor unions are starting to push back. North America's Building Trade Unions Organization, or NABTU for short, has a major axe to grind with Donald Trump, particularly in regards to union contracts that were unfulfilled on Trump Tower in Chicago, but also other Trump projects that were, you know, staffed by union folks, but then he either didn't pay, welched on his debts, or is like still slow with paying them. So they decided to have a little get together, like a round table, and President Sean McGarvey is actually pushing for unions to support Joe Biden in the 2024 election. There's some interesting stuff about that. Union rolls are actually down on the year, so people aren't signing up as much. There's actually a drop over the last 2023. But the support for unionization and for unions in general is on the rise, especially, you know, with infrastructure bills being passed, even with this do-nothing Congress, you know, and Joe's initiative to try to push more unions and push more infrastructure work in states and across the country. You've seen like a union enrollment is about at 6.9% in the private sector and about 10% in the public sector. But when polled in a Gallup poll in August of 2023, two-thirds of Americans who were polled approved of and support unionization. So McGarvey might be on the right track. And he's also said that he's committed to a, quote, unprecedented field program in key battleground states, end quote, to stop Donald Trump from getting the nomination. Man, when so many people are pushing back against you, you gotta at some point think, like, is it me? Right? Like, you have to question yourself at some point. And this is how you can tell that the man's delusional, because that's not happening at all. If anything, he's kind of doubling down on the fact that he's the greatest, but still begging, you know, his constituency for their help. His wife, Melania, is selling a Mother's Day pin. No other organization is attached to it. It's just her trying to make money. I think she's trying to put up a nest egg so she can get out and, you know, whatever the fallout of this, maybe a divorce, maybe he goes to prison for a while and she don't have his, you know, income to rely on. Who knows? But, you know, Trump's still shilling his Bibles and his shoes to everybody who will buy him. And it's kind of interesting that for somebody who wants to project an aura of strength and power and independence and wealth, like, do be crying broke a lot, too. Like, if I say I'm broke, like, you can bet money I got no money. But for somebody who's, like, always trying to project this image, man, he's really not doing a great job. I mean, even, like, lately, I mean, there's a couple other things that have popped up lately. The National Enquirer's catch-and-kill policy of trying to intercept stories regarding Trump and his improprieties or complete, like, marital indiscretions. Another payment that was allegedly sent out through, on Trump's behalf, through Michael Cohen, his former attorney, in attempt to pay off Karen McDougal, a Playboy playmate that Trump had a relationship with while he was cheating on Melania with someone else. So he was cheating on the person he was cheating on with Karen McDougal, who claims that they were in love and, you know, they were so enamored of one another. I'm like, yeah, this is a lady who definitely drank all the Kool-Aid. Yeah, there's just so much going on and spiraling the drain with this guy. The National Enquirer, like, literally being on, like, almost like on the books, essentially. And during all this, Melania's pretty much AWOL. Like, you've seen her maybe, like, once or twice over the last year. The kids are almost non-existent in his life, unless it's his elder children trying to beg for his love and support. You hardly really see them much in the public eye anymore. All of his old allies are turning on him. They're deciding to, you know, hey, let's cut a deal for this jail time if I testify against Donny Boy. It's just, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Just couldn't have happened to a nicer chap. And, you know, I mean, for all that's worth, it may not turn out to be anything. But who knows? I'm just keeping an eye on the situation. Yeah, it's bananas. I just keep thinking about, like, today we went to a hospital appointment and, you know, grateful for the fact that we were able to have healthcare, but I was thinking about Medicaid and Medicare recently because, you know, I have, you know, elder parents and they're, you know, looking down the barrel of Medicare and Medicaid. And this is one of the things that, like, I think I would probably vote for whomever is going to reform and reshape Medicare and Medicaid in a way that makes sense for our country and the people who need it the most, the people who need it, period. Right. Because you pay them forever. Medicare and Medicaid, those programs are supported with our tax dollars, right? So it comes out of your check, whether you want it or not, whether you ask for it or not, you know, whether you're like, I don't give a damn if I ever have insurance. You know, if I, you know, get my foot stuck in a, you know, underneath a truck tire, I'm just going to cut the foot off and hobble on. Is that fine? And they're like, nope, you have to have Medicaid. So you're required to have it. You're also required to sign up for it at age 65, unless you have some private insurance. And you're still paying fucking premiums. You've paid into this your whole working life, and you still have to pay to have Medicare and Medicaid. How broke are we as a country that the oldest, you know, and some of the most infirm and unable to work in a normal 40-hour-a-week capacity, those folks are being forced to have an insurance that doesn't help them, basically just puts more money back into government coffers, still comes with a copay, still comes with a deductible. They've been paying into their whole lives and they still have to pay just to pay, just to have it. And then you're penalized if you don't have it for every year that you don't have it. Look up some of this, the rules surrounding Medicare and Medicaid. It'll make you really start to worry about, like, any elders in your life, whether it's parents, grandparents, family, friends, you know, coworkers, whomever. And private insurance isn't any better. Honestly, I'm serious. Insurance is such a fucking scam. just insure the insurance industry as a whole, medical insurance in particular, but insurance is just ridiculous. It's too expensive to get in certain places. Like when we moved from one area of town into another, and just based on the accidents that other people had, not anything we had done, not any traffic violations, not any parking tickets, not any actual collisions, just everybody else in your area is fucking up, so you got to pay extra money on your insurance. We're like, bitch, what? It's too expensive to live. It's too expensive to die. The only thing you can really hope for is to move. Just leave the country. You know what I mean? It's just, it's getting ridiculous. Like, I've said before that America was never great. It was just kind of okay for whomever was on top. It's never really been great. So we can't make it great again. But if we can get somebody to get back in here, and we need like regulation on the housing industry, the mortgage industry, banking loans, insurance companies, the deregulation of all these private industries, all these industries to turn them into the private sector has really screwed the country in a lot of ways that we hadn't probably either foreseen or fully thought about when we were like, yeah, we don't want big government. Yeah, well, now you got big corporate, you know what I mean? And they're going to definitely bend you over with no spit. It's going to be a rough couple of years. And I think that insurance companies should actually reimburse you, right? Like, ain't nothing happened to me, so give me some of my money back. You can keep just enough of it to cover me in case some shit happens. But if shit don't happen, I should get some of my money back. Right? You know what I mean? Like every 3 years for your home and auto, you should get like a portion of what you paid in for those 3 years back. You don't have to go crazy with it. Say like, hey, you paid into this for 3 years. Give us 10% back. Who wouldn't be happy with the 10% return on their investment for 3 years? It's not the best investment, but I mean, if you ain't had no accidents, why not? 2 years for medical insurance. If you manage to stay reasonably healthy and don't have to go to the emergency room, you're safe. You're not getting, you know, you're not Johnny Knoxville off of somebody's roof. You know, you should get some of your premiums back for your medical insurance. And every 10 years you're alive, they should just refund a single year at the very bare minimum. You should get one whole year's worth of premiums back right off rip. Hey man, I made it. You know, I got life insurance at 35. I made it to 45. Give me a year's worth of that shit back. Take the wife out for a nice vacation. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll decide. You know what? I always wanted to get like a new stereo system for the house. Something like that. You should be able to get something back, right? Your money's worth something. It's worth enough that they keep it. It's got to mean something. You know what I mean? There's got to be a little bit of give back at some point. I don't know. I think it's just, I mean, hospitals suck. That's it. There's no other message. Every hospital sucks. Doctors suck. It's one of those funny jokes that you hear. Doctors are never really fully accomplished. That's why they always call it a practice. I think that's funny as hell to me. Like, it's sad that it's the case, but it's funny that that's the look. That's the look you have to have. You know, that's the approach you have to take. I don't know. Again, like I said, just spitballing here. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like that maybe I should have just skipped this week of the podcast and waited until next week. But then I started thinking about some stuff. You know, I just, you know, skip around. You know, when you go through your phone or you go through your laptop or whatever, you know, when you're on not laptop, go through your laptop. When you're just scrolling through social media, whether you're on your phone, your tablet, your PC, whatever. And I don't know about you, but I actually like discourse. People say I like to argue, and that is true. I do like to argue, but I really do like a good discourse. I think that a discourse and an argument, they can have similar functions, because a good solid argument gives you the ability at the end of it to be able to at least perceive where the other person's coming from. And even if you're not fully on board with it, like you may have learned something. Maybe learned something about yourself, about them, about maybe a subject you weren't familiar with. And I've noticed that there are some people who just don't care. Like they'll say anything and then they have no qualms about saying it, but they never want to listen. It's especially prevalent via social media. I think there's a certain degree of anonymity that's afforded there, but there's also a degree of distance that like you don't have to be accountable for the dumb shit you say up front and personal, up close and personal with somebody. So like these, I mean, the people you'll see this, like they choose to remain ignorant. You can give them all the facts and data and, you know, statistics in the world. I actually had this happen just recently where I was talking to somebody. I'm like, look, I get that we're in like a theoretical situation here, but just based on where you're getting your, you know, building your world and your argument from, this is dumb and this won't work. And here's why. But nope, I know what I'm talking about. I know I'm smart. I'm like, you know what? You're arguing with me about something that I've actually studied and like I know what I'm talking about. Like, it's not a whole lot of stuff that I'm super knowledgeable about, but I know this. I know that you're wrong. And I looked at it and I go like, you know what? This is really just you being selfish. You just want somebody to engage with. And rather than having a reasonable, logical discourse with somebody, you just want to be just insufferable. And that's an energy vampire to me. I can't deal with that. I got enough stuff going on. And especially this last week, this past month, I just get tired. I'm like, I'm tapping out. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things I want to remind you guys. Don't engage once you realize what's happening. Because you don't always know that somebody's like this until you find out that they are. Once I found out that they are, I just go like, all right, hit the mat. I'm out. Deuces. You know what I mean? I try to get out of there as fast as like pulling a ripcord while you're standing on the back of a speeding train. Just pull a ripcord, let the chute pop and take you away. Because they won't get it. They won't ever get it. So just stop giving it. Don't give them your energy or your time or your insight. Just let them ride. They don't want to learn and they won't learn. So stop trying to teach them. You're just banging your head against a brick wall. And they don't want anything but the attention. So ignore them. And the longer you ignore like the stupid shit that they say, like the longer they'll be like, well, why does no one talk to me? Because you're a moron. And you're actively attempting to be a moron. It'd be one thing if you just didn't know. That's called ignorance. There's nothing wrong with not knowing something. Lots of people don't know lots of shit. I don't know lots of shit. But there's something completely different about willfully remaining stupid and fighting against people who actually know better and can show you and illustrate to you why you're stupid. And you go like, I'm right. It's me. I know better. I know stuff. I can't deal with that shit, man. So just ignore them. And it's going to be fun because eventually what's going to happen is exactly what usually happens. When those kind of people stop getting the attention, then they go, no, basically no one wants to play with me. And then everybody can go, that's because you're an asshole. So yeah, sometimes you got to let people ride, man. Much as it sucks, sometimes you just got to let people ride. And it goes like, it goes for across the board. I've had to learn a lot of these lessons myself personally. So I feel comfortable in being able to share some of this stuff because, you know, again, there's no real estate available on Perfect Person Island, right? Like, I don't live there. You don't live there. No one lives there. So we're all imperfect, flawed people trying to navigate through this life the best way that we can. And I had to learn myself to learn to be accountable for my behaviors, manage my quote unquote triggers and stuff. Because here's the real truth. When I looked at that scenario, I'm like, I can't get through to you. I can't get you to see what's going on. And it's driving me crazy. Well, no, that person's not responsible for how I react to things. This is definitely my issue because I've always wanted to like encourage and educate people when I can and then to learn where I can't. You know what I mean? Like, oh, maybe you got something to teach me. I've sometimes been super stubborn and just seriously, I have a patience problem. So I'm trying to work through that. But if you've got issues like that, speak up about it because it's not always obvious to other people. Like, it's not obvious to some folks that like I have a serious problem. I hate repeating myself. I hate having to think for you. Like, if there's something that you could very easily figure out and do and handle just by taking 10, 20, 30 seconds and looking around, using your five senses, using just a teaspoon of critical thinking, and you could figure it out, asking me to help you is just going to aggravate me. Because it's almost like you don't respect my time enough to like make a minor effort on your own. So now I got to stop whatever I'm doing or whatever I'm getting into to help you when you can help yourself just as easily. And that makes me impatient. I'm trying to be better about that. But I mean, to me, it just feels like it's kind of a human thing. Like, why are you disrupting me with something that you could very easily do yourself? And so in knowing that that's an issue of mine, I have to let people know, hey, look, I don't really care much for repeating myself, and I don't mind trying to help, but there are times when I'm not real. I don't really, as kids would say, have the spoons to do all this stuff for you. So I'm going to need you to use some of your tools to figure some of this stuff out. I need you to work through it, show your work, go through the progressions and see if you can come to a logical conclusion on your own. Cause I don't always have the time as much as I want to give. There's only so much of me. You got to be prepared to give people those tools to manage themselves and their expectations of you too, because sometimes they might not know. So they might not know how to figure out and navigate your space, just like they need to be able to give it back, right? You got somebody who's constantly being upset about something, or constantly, you know, antagonistic or stubborn or hard-headed or willful, whatever you want to, you have to look at them and be like, what do you need for me to know about you so that we don't have this happening? You know what I mean? Like, this isn't fun for you. It can't be. It's definitely not fun for me. So how do we make this work so that we work together instead of butting heads all the time? And I think it's key to know that it's going to be a process, right? And it has to be a two-way street. Like, if you're somebody who finds that, like, people just don't seem to understand me, well, the people who do care about you want to do that. And they want to make the effort. They want to be on your team. Maybe you're not making it easy for them. Maybe you're obstinate in ways that you don't need to be. Like me. Maybe you're too stubborn in ways that you don't need to be, you know? Maybe you're snappy. Maybe you kind of veil whatever you got going on by, I knew this dude. Oh my God. I can't say his name. He'll probably hear this eventually. I knew this dude who would say outlandish, weird shit. Sometimes it'd be just wild. Sometimes it'd be rude. Sometimes it'd be kind of like sideways, snarky out of the side of his face. Like, oh, well, look at you. Don't you think you're hot shit? And then he'd be like, ha ha, just kidding. No, you're not. You're not just kidding. You know what I mean? You've got something that you really want to fucking say. So why don't you just say it? You know what I mean? Or you've got some beef, you've got something going on and you're feeling some kind of way about it. Well, instead of trying to flip it on me and be passive aggressive with it, like, well, excuse me. And then be like, I'm just kidding. No, the fuck you aren't. You aren't kidding. And you want to say something and you should. Because if you don't, then we're going to have this tension and I'm just going to eventually just bounce. I don't have to put up with it. There's no rule written in the world that says that I have to tolerate you when you're being an incontrovertible dick. And, you know, that kind of like snarky thing. Oh my God, I wanted to throw acid on him sometimes. I'd be so mad. Like, why are you like this? Why do you think this is fun? It's not fun for me. It's not fun. It can't be fun for you. Because all it does is just make me want to kick your ass. You know what I mean? It's like, don't be that. You know, it's really weird because you want people to be patient and understanding with you. So you have to be able to be patient and understanding back. That's going back to the whole thing. It's a two-way street, right? You got to make it work for them and for you. If you're not willing to make the attempt, just need to fuck off. Here's the other thing though, like shutting down, like flaring up and lashing out, you know what I mean? Or just ignoring situations and people and hiding from the world projects a very clear message that I don't want to be bothered and I'm not willing to try. The one screwy thing about that is eventually people will get the message. And the sad thing about it is when they get the message, it's only going to be the message you've given them. Like the guy I was talking about earlier, we don't hang out no more. We don't talk anymore. We used to. Even when we didn't live nearby, we used to talk all the time. Talking like a couple times a month, just call each other up. Chat on the phone for a little bit. I don't think I've heard his voice in maybe like 4 or 5 years. So, yeah. I mean, once you push somebody enough in those weird directions, right? You know, whether it's a passive aggressive snide comment here and there or just locking yourself off and not letting people in so they can understand what's going on, or, you know, flaming out on people and lashing out because you feel some kind of way and they have no idea what they've done. Like they eventually go like, you know what? Fuck it. And if you got to remember, too, that if you've hurt somebody by either a word or a deed, it's on you to fix that shit. It ain't on nobody else. You know what I mean? I've seen enough people in situations where they've said or done something, and I've been there, too. Like, they've said or done something, or I've said or done something. It's hurt somebody's feelings. It's put them out of place. And you have to go, okay, this is on me. I have to go back, and I have to make amends for what I've said and what I've done, the way I've treated people. And there are people I know, like to this day, who are just like dead set on, I'm not doing that. You owe me, you know, you can't, if you cared, you wouldn't just leave me to the wayside. No. Here's the real truth. Anybody can give you a reason to tell them to go fuck themselves. It could be a friend, family member, you know, it could be a spouse, it could be a partner, it could be a coworker, whomever. Anybody can give you a reason to cut them off and like, I don't have to deal with you no more. Right? You got to find out what that reason is, though. Is it a valid reason? Are we, again, like last week we were talking about, like, is it something that's actually affecting you, impacting your life? Or are you just mad about some shit today? And, you know, this one issue until now, and all of a sudden now you're flaming out. Like, you have to be mindful of that, too. And I think it's one of those things, too, when people come to you like that, and they're like, I am trying to make amends, whatever. Sometimes we can get wrapped up in our own feelings and be like, you know what? Fuck you. I don't care. Or I don't remember that being a thing. And you could be dismissive of them, like, whatever. You know, some people go through that, like whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, or maybe a therapist says, you know, go on the 12 steps of trying to mend the relationship, and they come to you to make amends and you're just mad dismissive about it. That's not a good way to act. Because they're trying to make the situation better. And as long as they're actively going like, you know what, I did this, I regret it, I apologize, and I want to try to make things right with us, and you force them away and you shut down on them, you're not giving yourself a chance to get over it then. Because you're still mad about it somehow. Why else would you ignore that? Why else would you ignore somebody trying to say, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and be a better person? And you just go like, fuck that, I don't have time for you. That means you're still mad about it. So you got to let that shit go for you. Forgiveness is for yourself, not just for the other person. It's mainly about you letting go of all the pain and anger and bitterness that you've got inside of you so that you don't keep holding on to it, because it festers inside of you, whether you realize it or not. It's like having a piece of food stuck under a gap in a tooth. Eventually, it might be fine for a little while, but eventually it's going to start to corrode and rot and eat away at that tooth, man. You got to cut that shit out. Flush it out, scrape it out, rinse it out, cut it out, pull the whole tooth, whatever you got to do, but it's got to come out. It'll affect your entire being. Just like I said, remember, no one's perfect. That includes you. Up to and including you. No one's perfect. We're all just trying our best to get through the situation together. But if you don't provide people the information and you don't give them an opportunity to make the shit right, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're the problem then at that point. It could very well be that they are actually the cause of why you're feeling a certain kind of way. But if you're not willing to, you know, when they come to you, work things out, if you're not willing to say, hey, man, you did this to me and it messed me up like this, then you become part of the problem. You don't want to be that. So, you know, you got to take those steps. I know it sounds kind of amorphous. I don't have any particular examples I want to drill down on without hurting somebody really bad or, you know, exposing some wounds that, you know, somebody might be like, I'm still working through that. But just in broad strokes, this is an easy way to kind of look at your life, man. Just remember, when you're not perfect, we're all trying to work out this shit together. Try to give people a little bit of breathing room and give them the tools to let them know how to interact with you too. And then listen when they give you theirs. It's a good way to be. And it's a better way to live. Trust me on that. It's a whole lot easier. What isn't easy, though, is navigating the fallout fever that's been going on. Because as much as I love the Fallout universe and the franchise itself, Fallout hasn't always loved me back. I thoroughly enjoy Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and I will evangelize those games to anyone who will listen. And if nobody at Bethesda is going to do anything else with the franchise, at least let somebody or the community, another developer, maybe a small team at Bethesda, rework the graphics engines and stuff and get Fallout 3 and New Vegas a fully realized, you know, remastered edition, because it'd be amazing. But with the success of the Amazon Prime TV show, the franchise is popping off in hard ways. Like, it's hitting Steam's top-selling records again. Fallout 76 and Fallout 4 have already risen to the top 5 of game sales on Steam, and that moved up 3 positions from last week. They just took over this week, so it's crazy to watch them pop back up. If you've never played Fallout, the world can be very rough and gritty. It's a mature rated game. So there are, you know, themes of violence, sexual themes. There's some brief, but like mostly covered nudity, drug use, things like that. It's a mature game. It's not designed for children, right? and it's set in a post-apocalyptic world. There's going to be wild shit happening. You ever seen Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? You know what I mean? The Last of Us, 28 days later? Think of that. But even still, if you're not convinced and you're curious, you want to check it out, thanks to Game Pass, Fallout 4 has moved up as well as Fallout 76. Fallout 4 just got a free content update that is supposed to help fix some graphical issues and offer some customization options and stuff like that to players of the game. So if you have the Game Pass on either PC or Xbox, you should go and give it a look. It's worth your while to at least give it a spin, see what you think about it. The Fallout 4's DLC season pass thing is like $32, which is a steal because it makes it about $14 cheaper than buying each piece of the DLC a la carte. And since the game is free, you know, for download on Game Pass, you might as well give it a spin. You spend $30, I guarantee you, you're going to at least find something you like about it. Fallout 4 is not as, in my personal opinion, refined and as one thing refined and then two as fleshed out and sprawling as Fallout 3, because Fallout 3 has a lot more focus on like side questing and exploration, whereas Fallout 4 kind of followed a more linear track. And has suffered for that to some degree. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad game. It's just there are elements of the game that I certainly did not care for. And most core fans that I know did not like. And I think that Bethesda tried to mend some of those issues. Made some steps that may have ultimately been half measures. But I think now with the popularity of the games coming back thanks to the show, maybe we'll see some changes that we all asked for. If you're curious about it, though, I'm currently playing the game on my stream. like I said, the idea was to do a comparison and contrast at one point between the games and the show itself. However, it's a difficult thing to do necessarily because the show and each game, for example, tell different stories. Now, there's some overlap in that they're from the same world and sometimes you'll visit similar locations. And occasionally a character or a trope or two will return from one iteration of the game to the next. So you'll see a little bit of overlap, but they try to tell a new story each time. And I think that's one of the things that Fallout as a TV show did well, because it didn't marry itself to any one particular game's Bible, for example. Like, you didn't have to have all the characters that were in this game in the show. It was good enough that you had enough similarity and enough familiarity with the source material that you're able to take some creative license and explore a different narrative. So I will be talking about that throughout like my playthrough of Fallout 4. And I'm most likely going to keep this to like Wednesdays, maybe Fridays, so it doesn't overwhelm my entire stream, so I can still play other games as I see fit or as I just get kind of burnt out. Go back to Baldur's Gate 3 every now and again, pop in some Destiny, maybe play a little more Cozy Grove or Super Mario RPG or just, you know, anything that kind of strikes my fancy. So hopefully you guys will come along and join me on this adventure. I love the world of Fallout. I think it's great. And I think that, you know, if you're able to get through some of the more mature themes and some of the more bizarre things that happen in the world, you could find a lot of fun there. Even in Fallout 76, which was largely broken at launch, but has apparently of late in the last like 5-6 years, especially, gotten pretty significant updates and content that makes the game a lot more enjoyable. So I might have to dip back into that as well. Who knows which way the wind will blow me this week, but I know one thing, it's going to blow me out the door here in just a minute because it's been a long day, it's been a long week, and I'm exhausted, but I need to get this episode out to all of you. So again, feel free to check out streamlabs.com/linkib/merch if you want some Wandering One Studios or LinkIB stream merch. Like I just mentioned, I'll be on twitch.tv/linkib usually 4 days a week. We go for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then occasionally Saturday or Sunday, depending on when our game group gets together or has the time or the ability to get together. And for the weekday streams, you can usually find me between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on the weekends, I'm trying to push a little bit closer towards noon or 1. So keep those in mind. Pop by, say hello. Go to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios, please. Even if you don't want to sign up and support for $3 a month, that's okay. Just go and follow for free. And I put updates up there. You'll be able to get them. There'll be free episodes that are available too. You'll hear those already. You have a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So you get a chance to listen to all the stuff and decide if you actually do want to support. And here's the most important thing. You can leave me a message. You can leave me some feedback. You can leave me a comment. You can ask a question or two or three or 10. You can throw down some recipes. Y'all know I love to cook. I love to make new stuff. So maybe I could try some of those and, you know, gluten-free, lactose-free them up a little bit and see if I can work them out. If you have one that's already ready to go, I could try it and let you know what I think. And then, as usual, thank you. Without you guys, the podcast doesn't happen. Without you listening and sharing, it doesn't go anywhere. And I want to say that I appreciate each and every one of you for every way that you've supported the stream in however you thought it was necessary, capable, or reasonable. So, yeah, you guys have made this a fun experience. And I can't wait to see where it goes. The numbers are starting to slowly creep up. It's getting to the point where I can actually approach sponsors and not feel so stifled in some ways. And which means that the closer I get to sponsorship, I get to do something that I love to do on my Twitch stream. I get to do giveaways. Maybe I can do an actual stream, like an actual podcast giveaway. That would be cool. And it's a thing that I'd love to do to give back to the folks who've given so much to me, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether it's a little bit of presence on your social media wall. Maybe it's just a touch of mind share every now and again. Like, hey, that podcast usually comes out on Wednesdays, right? Hey, it's Wednesday. Why is that podcast not out? It's coming. And today is the day. So thank you all so much. Have a wonderful week. And hopefully I will catch you on time next week. And we'll see you a little further on down the road. Peace.